party started.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, America?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
What? Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
There it is.
They can do what it
never
do, people.
Never get sick of that. Yes, sir.
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's good. Yes, sir.
That'll
I'm
stick
old.
You, man. That's amazing, man. It's all good, bro. It's all
You're
good.
Giving the people what they want.
That's right. Welcome officially to Talking Sports with the 12th Man on this Tuesday, October the 18th. And as always, we are here. We're not making any proposals to any goalposts or anything like that, man, or any kicking nets or
That's
none of that,
guy.
Man. So, but we are officially here Talking Sports with 12th Man. I am always your host, Andre, joined by my fellow host. Let's kick it off, Mr. JQ. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, I'm good. I'm recovered over Andre, you know, pilfering my picks right in front of me. Shout out to everybody that was in the draft with us. That was fun. And everybody was drafted fast, so it was a quick draft considering. So appreciate all y'all.
It was quick. I didn't mean to pilfer, man. It was all about just trying to, like, get the best position, man. So, you know, apologies about
good.
That. But there's a lot of love, man. And can't help. We got to check in with our other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, T-Rob?
Man, doing great. No complaints, man. Out here in H-Town, checking up on the Texans, the Rockets, seeing what these Astros are going to do in the offseason. And for all of you want to know what I ate today, just a plain old salad boring, right? I got to lose some weight.
You knew that was coming right
I was waiting.
Like,
That train is never late.
Yeah.
Okay. And JQ, man, you must need to change your team name, man. Yahoo don't like your team name.
It don't, man. That's
no.
The second time in a row. Last year, I dropped 11th in the same fantasy football basketball draft, and I dropped 11th again this year. I said, come on, what's going on with the random generator here? Yahoo, you know, switch it up or something.
They're like, oh, we're going to switch it up.
Cubbies are in trouble.
Yes, they are.
Oh, good. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that, too. Man, a lot of things happening. As always, checking with your boys. Let's give out the numbers and how to reach out to us where we are. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at the number 12, THMAN Sports. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you type in Talking Sports for 12th Man, you will find us in that arena. And then last but not least, call your boys. Reach out to us. We love to hear your thoughts, all that fun stuff. Reach out to us on the following number, 424-243-9519. Gentlemen, it's been a great week. We'll talk about a lot of things, but NBA is kind of what we're going to kick the show off with. And Mr. Robert Ford, let's talk about the NBA and the Central Division predictions that you have starting off the show, sir.
Well, obviously, this one's a pretty easy one. I got to go with Cleveland. Still have LeBron James, the best player in the world on the team. And I think they're going to be – I think they're actually going to be a little bit better this year, too. Tristan Thompson, the chemistry there, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love started coming around toward the end of the season. But I think Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, that 1-2 punch is going to be too strong for any team in that division. I think Indiana's going to be a lot better this year, too. Paul George went out and made some moves, got Jeff Teague in a bunch, got L. Jefferson on the team now. So I look for them to be improved. I look for them to be in the number 2 spot. Number 3, I'm going to go with the Bulls. We'll see with that Rajon Rondo, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, what they're able to do together, Michael Carter Williams. I actually like Detroit. I had Detroit at number 2 prior to the Reggie Jackson injury, but I think that's going to hurt them, so I moved them down to number 4. And Milwaukee, even with the Greek freak, I don't know what they're doing, but I have them in last place in the division.
Go ahead, JQ.
I can't cope with any of that. I mean, honestly, you could just talk about, you know, the 2-5 positions because Cleveland's holding it down, and we're going to talk about it later just as a team. But, you know, it's Cleveland and everybody else. I mean, you know, Wade's doing it for his city, going back to Chicago, and I I commend him for that. But a little longer in the tooth, and I don't know if Jimmy Butler's quite ready yet to take that next step to lead his own team. Again, like you talked about, Reggie Jackson, Detroit being hurt. I love Paul George there for Indiana, but I just don't know if he has enough support and help to get him over that hump, and definitely not against Cleveland in the Central. So it's really Cleveland and, you know, and the Pips for the most part, for long story made short. So Cleveland and Cleveland again and Cleveland for the third time. That's what it's about.
Cleveland. All right, JQ, let's kick it off now. We talked about that. Let's kick off to your side, to your boys in the Pacific Division. Lakers, we'll see what's going on with that, bro. What do you think about this call, JQ?
I don't know if Rob did that on purpose, but the story parallels are pretty much the same. I mean, outside of, you know, I think Phoenix is up and coming. I think Sacramento's still the dumpster fire. I hate that Boogie is still on that team. If he went somewhere where he could just be exposed to the nation, I think people would have a greater appreciation for what he can do. But it's about Golden State, and adding Kevin Durant to that team, and you know, you sacrifice Harrison Barnes and Bogut and Kevin Durant, it's not even a question, right? So it's Golden State and everybody else. Can the Clippers finally, you know, get over the curse, you know, and actually do something? Can Paul stay healthy? Can Griffin stay healthy? You know, can DeAndre Jordan actually shoot 60% from the free throw line? Like, I can't ever say they're going to dethrone Golden State. So it's Golden State. Golden State and the Pips West, pretty much.
Good call. And I was going to say, keep an eye. You mentioned Boogie, too. Obviously, we're talking about, you know, DeMarcus Cousins there. Word on the street, interesting how we're kind of doing these two different teams with Cleveland and that, because there may be some rumors about him going to Cleveland. I don't know how that's going to happen. Maybe that's some, you know, one of my Cleveland fans talking junk. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I've heard some kind of rumblings about that for sure. But if that happens, man, stronger. But we'll see how that plays out. Rob, your thoughts about the Pacific Division, sir?
Well, yes, there's the Warriors all day long. I mean, when you add Kevin Durant to that team, if he can come back to the level he was playing at about 3 years ago, I mean, you're talking about he was the MVP of the league. And if he comes close to that level, you're talking about having two of the top three players in the world on one team. So it's going to be hard to top that. And then you add Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. And, a signing that kind of went under the radar, if he can come back to the way he was playing about 3 to 4 years ago, too, was JaVale McGee. Talking about an athletic big man, run the floor, who I thought was an underrated signing that could help him as well. And so I think it's the Warriors all day long. The Clippers are clearly the second-best team in this division with their big three. And then from three to five is where things get kind of interesting. I think the Kings have the third-best talent in this division, but they just seem to be a basket case. So I'm going to put the Suns at number three. I'm going to put the Kings at number four. And sorry, JQ, I think the Lakers are still bringing up the rear in this division.
No. They're going to be fourth. They're going to be fifth. And I think you're sleeping on the Suns a little bit. I like that. If they can get them to coexist with Brandon Knight and Bledsoe and Booker, that's a nice threesome in the backcourt. Yeah. They're going to score a lot of points. Can they defend? Can they keep Chandler healthy to be somewhere
of a
run protector?
I got the Suns number three.
Yeah, that's, I do like that Suns thing, but I still think Sacramento's going to find a way to mess themselves over. You know they are. And I think the Lakers are getting better. And I mean, it's easy to get better from like 10, 13 wins. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to be no juggernaut. And I'm a Laker fan, but I'm not saying that. But I do think that, you know, if you read the reports about what they're doing and taking the next step, if they can get Brandon Ingram to provide anything in his rookie year, given everybody else taking a little bit of step forward, and I think Luke Walton as the head coach outside of Baron Scott, I mean, you know, you saw what he said about D'Angelo Russell. He just didn't like that dude. And that's hard to have your head coach, you know, not like the player that's supposed to be the star. That just doesn't work, especially when he's that young. So
Byron Scott has never met a rookie that he liked.
Exactly.
Yeah, he doesn't.
So, I mean, but we're talking,
except
we're talking
Chris
about the
Paul.
Defensive fourth team, so I don't want to take on them.
Yeah, except
yeah,
Chris Paul. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But we're talking about the fifth and fourth teams, really. But, again, it's Golden State. I just don't think the Lakers are going to be as bad as they were last year. I don't, but they're not a playoff team. Don't get me wrong.
Fair enough. All right, gentlemen. Let's talk about the Northwest Division. This is pretty interesting. Well, not too much. I think we've got some clear-cut favorites. And, you know, obviously I'm thinking a little Oklahoma City here. But go ahead, Rob, your thoughts is kicking this off, sir.
Well, I'm going to go with the Trailblazers. They were surprised a lot of people last year. But Lillard and McCollum has got to be one of the best backcourts in the league. And their front court was solid. Aminu, I think, played his best year last year in the NBA. So I like them as being the best team in that division. Now, keep this in mind. Even though they're going to win this division,
yeah,
I think they might be the fifth or sixth best team in the West, but they will be the best team in this particular division. I still have the Thunder at number two. Russell Westbrook, I think Enes Kanter and those guys, I think, and Steven Adams, even though they don't have Durant, those guys, I think, will help Westbrook come along. And so, obviously, you get Oladipo as well. So I like the Thunder in the two spot and possibly still get into the playoffs as a 7-8 seed. The Jazz, they just lost Gordon Haywood for a good bit. But I still think when it's all said and done, they'll be there at number three. But I think Minnesota will be knocking on Utah's door. So they'll be, I think between those two, you're going to have a fight for the number three spot. Minnesota has really good young talent. At some point, you know, I think they'll be a playoff team here pretty soon in the next year or so. And I got Denver bringing up the rear.
Nice. What about you, JQ? Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I think we have three tiers in this division. At the top, Portland, Oklahoma City, I think are going to vote for that 1-2, and I don't think that's really going to shock anybody for all the people that Rob just laid out. But Durant has shrunk that gap from Oklahoma City down to Portland. So it wouldn't shock me at all for Portland to be one, Oklahoma City to be two, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that second
tier,
you talk about Minnesota with Karl Anthony Towns and those guys taking another step. I kind of like that Utah team, you know, with Robert and Favors, if he can get healthy. It's about health for the Jazz,
mm-hmm,
right? Because if Ayton gets healthy and Hayward gets healthy and Favors gets healthy, you know, you put that together, and then, you know, Trey Burke under the radar there coming off the bench. So that tier there with Minnesota-Utah, I think, is real tight. So I think, again, 3-4 either way, I think, you know, it would surprise me. And I just don't think Denver has it yet to climb up into that second tier with Utah and Minnesota. So that's what I say. I think it's Portland, Oklahoma City, 1-2 in some order, Utah, Minnesota in some order, 3-4, and Denver definitely in the fifth spot.
Good call. And I, like you said, I think you said a key word, JQ. If is very key for that too, man. So that's – we'll keep an eye on that too with that situation too, because, you know, Minnesota's got a lot of young talent too, man. So that's a scary team as
they do
to mature for sure. But right now, like you said, I like those picks, Rob. Good call on that Portland, you know, Oklahoma City kind of 1-2, if you will. Like you said, no disagreement from that tier on the tiering as well. Last but not least, guys, let's kick it off with the Southeast Division. I'll start off with you, JQ, your thoughts in this particular division.
Southwest.
Did we do the Southeast
a few weeks ago, so we're doing the Southwest.
Okay.
Did we? I'm sorry, Southwest. My bad. Okay.
It's all right. I just want to make sure we're talking about the right thing. As long as that core priest is pretty much there and you keep tinkering around it, you get Kawhi Leonard to step in there as basically the leader now with Parker, you know, we're taking a step back. You still got LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm going to go as far as to win that division. Memphis, it depends on Gasol and that foot. They can play that style of basketball if they play, and it can just grind you out. And I can see them getting to that second spot, but I just can't pick them right now due to health. And we talk a lot about it. D'Antoni has had some flops, you know, L.A., New York. But getting a dynamic backcourt player in James Harden for those Rockets teams, I mean, they're not going to play no defense, don't get me wrong. But if you talk about somebody they brought in to accentuate the positive of that team, I think him as a coach for what he wants to do in the roster that he has, I think they can come in second behind San Antonio. Again, that 3-5, you know, I'm sorry, Rob. I still think the Pelicans are going to probably bring up the rear there. We can't really count Anthony Davis to be healthy.
Hey,
he's hurt already. I'm just being honest. I like Anthony Davis' talent, but I don't know if they, given the Rockets and the Spurs, if they can even get that top two. You talk about the Grizzlies with the established presence at 3-4 maybe with the Mavericks, but the Vicky's getting a little older. And then, I'm sorry, I got to go to talk to probably bring it up to the fifth spot.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I have the Spurs at number 1-2. That front court should still be pretty dominant with Kawhi Leonard, Aldridge, and now you have Paul Gasol. With Pop as the head coach, who I still feel is the best head coach in the business, he'll get the most out of his personnel. They may not be the NBA championship material, but he's going to get more out of his personnel than any other coach will get out of his personnel. So I have the Spurs number one. I still think the Grizzlies are going to be the second-best team. I know there's some question marks about Gasol and his foot, bringing Zach Randolph off the bench this year. But I think this typically has been the strongest division in the Western Conference for quite some time. I think you're going to see this division drop off a little bit. And from 2 to 5, I think it could be anybody's position, believe it or not, because I think you could see the Grizzlies drop off a little bit. I think you can see the Mavericks drop off a little bit. And the Rockets, I still have Dallas number 3 because I think Carlisle's a heck of a coach. I have the Rockets at number 4, but the Rockets are a big question mark. If Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon could stay healthy, which they could not do when they were with the Pelicans, they could be a serious, dangerous offensive team because they really can shoot the basketball. Mm-hmm. And but I'm going to put them at number 4. And number 5, the Pelicans, for whatever reason, their players just can't stay healthy. Drew Holiday, obviously, he's got the issue with his his wife.
Yeah, for sure.
And, so, I mean, you got to understand that situation. And then Tyreek Evans, his health is in question. He won't be ready to start the season. Anthony Davis already has a sprained ankle in preseason. He's questionable for the opener. So as much as I hate to say it, but I have the Pelicans in last place as well. But I think that 2 to 5 is going to be a lot closer than a lot of people think.
You're going to talk bad about me, too. Who asked you?
Hey, you got to have somebody to say.
I love it. I'm just going to say this really quickly, guys. Rob, you know me, Rob, and JQ, you get to know me as well. So there's a couple of coaches that I'm always, like, leery of, the Bob Stoops of the world that, you know, just always seem to, like, break it down. And I always question coaching. That's what I'm going to say about Rick Carlisle. I just don't know enough. I just don't trust him, you know, being from Indiana. That's where I'm from. So, and the whole thing in the pay. So I just have a problem with Rick Carlisle. So that's a whole other conversation. But anyway, we'll see how that comes to play. I love the prediction. You guys are pretty much on the same page as far as that, too, so I'm not going to spend too much time on that. But I do want to talk about the NBA Finals predictions, and I think that there's not going to be a shock, America, as far as who we're going to go with. But, Rob, who do you think is going to be in the finals here, Rob? Some predictions.
Boy, this is really hard, huh? I got to think about it. But, yeah, I think we're going to see the third year in a row of the Cavs and the Warriors. I think the Spurs and the Clippers – will battle it out for the second-best team in the Western Conference, but the Warriors are definitely that team in the West. I think Cleveland wins the East by landslide, and so I think Cleveland and the Warriors, as much as I want to see Cleveland beat the Warriors, if I have to go with a prediction, I have to go with the Warriors right now. Like I said, if you're getting Kevin Durant from a couple of years ago, you got two of the top three players in the world on one team. Almost unfair. So I would have to predict the Warriors in 6 over the Cavaliers.
Warriors come out and play. Go ahead, Jackie.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything that he said. I mean, pretty much all the same reasons. Like I said earlier, you subtract Bogut and Barnes, they pick up Kevin Durant, Tyler Cat-wise. Well, yeah, you put him with Draymond and Clay and Curry. It's unfair. It would take a LeBron James kind of player in this league to top with that just overwhelming, deficiency and talent. I mean, even though Cleveland has a really good team, and, you know, I picked Kyrie today. So, like you said, Kevin Love figuring it out. But I just can't see them beating Kevin Durant without just – and again, he's had monster finals, but he has to have an even more monster final. And I'm talking strictly about LeBron for them to beat them. I just don't see it happening. I think we see the trilogy, and I think we see Golden State win it. I really do.
I was going to say really quickly, too, that was another player, Kyrie, that I was kind of cussing you about, too, on the back end of that draft. But so I appreciate that, too, man. So just the same, man. You know, I was going to, like, try to dominate all the – I was going to get all the guards, but, you know, that was one that kind of, like, got me because I – but, you know, I'm kind of, like, getting over that. Gentlemen, we got about 11 minutes left on the show. I know, but still, you could have, like, gave me that one so I can have some assistant steals, but we'll talk about it later. This is a great question posed, and I'm going to kind of, like, spin another direction because the question is, what NBA player would you start your franchise with right now? And I'm hoping, Rob, you're talking about current state, not, like, previous couple years ago. So I'm going to curious. I'm curious to hear your response. Okay, cool, cool. Because I was thinking in my head, I was like, was he going like LeBron like or, you know, but, you know, so I'm going to kick it off with you. Since you could pose a question, what NBA player would you start your franchise with right now, Rob?
I know he's in his 30s, but I still think he's got really good 4 to 5, really high-level basketball still left in him. So I would still go with LeBron James. I mean, you're talking about a guy who in the NBA Finals led 5 categories. I mean, it's never been done in NBA history. And last year he led 3 categories in the NBA Finals. And, I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, when he when you have a player that can really help you in those departments and get it done on a defensive end as well, like I said, even at this age, I think he's still got another 4 to 5 years of high-level basketball. It's hard for me to pick anybody else over him.
JQ?
I'm gonna warm Rob's heart. And this is, again, a big if predicated off of health, but right now, given age and just not, and I'm factoring in some upside, but just the skill set they showed us now, I think we'll have to go with Anthony Davis. And again, it's predicated on being healthy, you know, for the next 4 or 5, 6 years. But that dude can flat out do it all. You know, he can dribble, he can shoot, he can score, he can rebound, he can block shots, he can do it all. He's a Swiss Army knife. He's freakish. His only knock has been his health, and I know that's why people will probably say, oh, he can't stay healthy. And I get that, but if I'm banking on, okay, maybe he got over his health stuff earlier in his career and now he has a longer run of good health because he's gone through the bad stuff early, I'll have to say Anthony Davis with that. But, you know, I hear the LeBron piece, but also, you know, Steph Curry, with just the way he can flat out shoot, you have to guard him from the half-court line. I mean, it's almost been nobody you've had to do that to where you legitimately know he can put it in your eye from anywhere over half-court. But in terms of, but he's more right. He's more one dimensional where you're getting, you know, a 5'2" player in Anthony Davis at what's he 24, something like that, 23, something in that range. So I'm still gonna say Anthony Davis. I mean, he's got to just fall off a cliff and miss like 2 years straight for me to come off that.
Yeah, and a lot of GMs in the NBA agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, I agree. I like that shout out too. I'm gonna go a different direction, guys. I'm gonna go. But he's not like unheard of, but I think very underrated on the radar. And I like Kawhi Leonard, man. That's the guy I just like, man. I just think this guy's a solid player, unassuming, this kind of a glue guy, but just kind of somebody that can just like, you know, kind of break out too. That's just kind of a guy I just thought about, just somebody that I would just love to kind of start that. But, and I know you're going to love this too, JQ, but I thought, like, Rob, you're kind of talking Kurt State, like, straight from the draft. And I, this is going to sound weird, I really do like Ben Simmons, man. I think once he gets developed, man, I love his game. I love his IQ. I would love to start a franchise with him too, man. That's just a guy I was just kind of thinking like current, like, you know, from the draft perspective. But that's, you know, that's kind of the way I was thinking too, man. So anyway, that's my thoughts about that, if you will, guys. So love it, love it, love it. All these are great players. You can't go wrong with any of them. And we'll see about that, you know, since we were having fun with our personal GM in our drafts tonight as well. All right, gentlemen, we got about 6-7 minutes here. Let's talk about an interesting comment about Vince Carter. And I have no idea where this came from. He said he can compete in the 2017 NBA Slam Dunk Contest. I don't know if it's because there's no – we're just kind of starved for superstar power, or I don't even know where this is coming from too. So, yeah, Jakey, is he kind of off his rocker, dude, or – is he still kind of reminiscing over about Frederick Weiss, or what are your thoughts, man?
I'm going to tell you like this. If he has anything left to do just a fraction of what he did before, he's going to win because he's, what, 39, 40 years old?
40 years old.
If he can go out there and give a fraction of what he is, they're going to give him more points in terms when they judge his dunks just because he's 40 and they have that background on him and what he did in that other slam dunk contest. I wouldn't even really want to be in it with him, to be quite honest, because if he can come out and do just a little bit to make you go, ooh, that's that Vince we know, but he can't do it exactly what he did, but just some of it, he's going to get so much benefit of the doubt from everybody watching and everybody scoring that he's going to win. So it's not as far-fetched as you think.
Fair enough. I like it. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, in the year 2000, Vince Carter had one of the greatest dunk competitions in dunk competition history. That was sick. And there was nobody there on the same, or not even on the same planet with them in that dunk contest. If you guys go back to the year 2000, now you go back to the year 2001, he didn't come back to defend himself. So now he's talking. Now why not try it now at age 40? And he still says he's got a lot of the same explosive moves. He just says his body just can't handle the landing as well anymore. But he says he feels like he can do it for one night and give it a shot. And he said he'll definitely draw a lot of interest to it at 40 years old. Hmm. Now, obviously, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon had one of the greatest competitions that we've seen, 1-2 against each other, probably since the Jordan-Dominique days. So that was a heck of a slam dunk contest last year. If you get those two guys back and you add a 40-year-old Vince Carter, I think you bring a lot of intrigue to a slam dunk contest. So I'm actually hoping he goes through with it. And hopefully the NBA will allow it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know it right on the head, Rob. It's all about the intrigue. I mean, right now, I think that's kind of what it is too, man, because right now I would, you know, tune in like, really, 40-year-old Vince Carter? And you got the old heads like, man, I hope he shows up them young guys. But you nailed it right on the head in that, I love the future. I love Zach LaVine. I love Aaron Gordon. I mean, that's going to be – that's like that classic, man. You got to have that rematch too, man. So, you know, I think it's kind of one of those things where it's like you love to see them kind of have that again and then maybe Vince Carter come after that. But, you know, I think it'd be good to kind of see how it plays out for sure, guys. So, hey,
you
got to
realize
Dr.
J is in his 60s and can still slam dunk a basketball with ease.
mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
That would be interesting. I mean, I'm sure he's not going to do that crazy stuff too, but, you know, just one of those, the old heads would actually appreciate, man, this, you know, kind of doing that. But like you said, you wonder how long his body can take to that pounding for a couple of rounds too, man. So, good calls as well too, gentlemen. All right, 3 minutes here. I'd love to kind of, Rob, before we talk about updates on baseball, can we really quickly do some fantasy shout-outs as we get ready to set up for the OT portion, sir?
All righty here. Let's see. Let me pull those up here really quick. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, let's look at league number one, the phenomenal one. Chris from Orlando had the biggest win of the weekend, 179.44 to 106.30 over Monsters of the Midway. Andre, how you going to pay that fine?
Straight cash, homie.
He's my co-host, straight cash homie. Andre is in first place in league number one. League number two, the EP Diablos. Willie from El Paso with the biggest win. 151.30 over turndown, 70.46. And EP Diablos, Willie is also in first place in league number two. In league number three, Saints Pelicans, Larry from Houston, 136.80 over Irvin's team, 69.19. My other co-host, Ohio Players, in first place in that league. So those are our shout-outs for the week. And now we just had a fantasy basketball draft, so we're looking forward to that as well. Thank you all for competing with us.
Go ahead and set up the OT portion, Rob.
All right, we're going to... You ready to go into our OT portion? Click on this same link on tomorrow. We got a little baseball coverage. We're going to try to wrap up the football coverage from this past week and going into next weekend as well. NBA season tips off on Tuesday night, so we got a lot to talk about here in the next few weeks. But click on the same link, and we'll get you the OT portion on tomorrow. Next week, we'll be back on Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our friends on the West Coast. Good night, people.
JQ.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all, good people, for tuning in and talking to us this evening. Download that podcast. Holler at your boys. As always, San Diego, stay positive. I'm just going to say, I'm in first place in 1 week, and Dre is in first place in 1 week. But I didn't hear us talk about Rob being in first place in 1 week.
I knew it was coming.
So, I mean, you know, I know
I'm
I
in first place in my other league, believe it or not. I'm not in first place in the 12-man sports league. But I am the first place in my league. I have a screenshot of it to you guys.
We ain't talking about that right now, this call.
We ain't talking about that league, bro. that was good, thank you.
Oh,
he thought he was going to get off the show without saying it. Like, oh, yeah, what's up, guys?
Yeah. No, sir.
Oh, man. I'm a screenshot to y'all, America.
Oh, here we go.
Check Talkman Sports Fans on Facebook page. Y'all see him in first place in one league.
You better screenshot something. You better screenshot something. All right, folks. America, thank you for tuning in. It's what we like to do. Like I said, don't propose or don't post it or anything like that, man. That's what it's all about. All right, gentlemen, let's have some fun here. I just thought that was hilarious, man. Let's kick it off here. We got to talk about some baseball. And any updates, Rob, on the Indians Blue Jays series right now? What we got for that right now?
Well, the Indians, of course, came up short of the sweep today. The Blue Jays finally won the game in the series. So now the Indians are up. The Reader won. But if you look at this series, the bullpen for the Indians have been flat out ridiculous. And then you throw in a little timely hitting, the strong starting pitching, good defense. But their bullpen of Andrew Miller, Cody Allen, and Brian Shaw has been outstanding. It's probably the best bullpen I've seen since the Nasty Boys of the Reds, JQ. Uh-huh. And when you look at Miller, this guy's slider is unreal. He struck out 13 batters prior to tonight's game in the ALCS. And he's accounted for 15 outs, and 13 of those have been strikeouts. So it's been unbelievable, and it's flat-out amazing if Cleveland, the Indians, could bring another world championship to Cleveland. That would be flat-out amazing.
That would be nuts. I just couldn't believe that would happen, if that actually happened. And calm down on Nasty Boys, because they did that for a whole season. They just didn't do it in the postseason. So, you know, don't invoke the Nasty Boys.
You would defend his Reds.
Yeah, don't invoke
the Nasty Boys. He ready.
Don't invoke the Nasty Boys. Because they did that for a whole year. But you're right, though. And again, and one thing that you left out, Terry Francona with pulling the strings with the starters in the bullpen. He has done a masterful job. We talked a couple weeks ago about Joe Madden and what he did with the Cubs this year. What Terry Francona has done this postseason with that depleted starting unit, and I don't know if you saw, Buddy, with his finger just bleeding all over his uniform the other day. And they got, I think, 6 innings of, more than that, a relief pitch, a no-hit run ball. I mean, it was just ridiculous what they did. And just a quick update for everybody that maybe not watching and listening, the Dodgers just went up 2-1 on the Cubs.
Shout out
6-0 at that. Shout them up, 6-0. So, looking tough. The Dodgers play a lot tougher than I thought they would. But, yeah, I got to give Terry Francona a whole lot of love for what he's doing with those Indians. I just can't fathom the Indians and the Cavs winning the championships in the same year. That's just ridiculous.
And I got to give a shout-out to JQ, man. Number one, bro, you are my role model, man. The jerseys, I was, like, tripping out, bro. I was like, man, good stuff, man. The Delgado, I mean, I was just like, man, that's classic, man. We love the fact that you're definitely repping that, man. And I think you're also going to, give, the Indians locked in. Man, that's what I'm talking about.
Your wife's going to take your credit card, my brother.
Man, I did that way before. This has been like years. I think I got those like in the 90s, bro. Both of those actually. I just held on to them. I'm packed right, I guess.
And so you're going to, and you're going to the Hall of Fame this weekend. Is that correct, bro? Is that right? Or no? Who's going to the Hall of Fame?
No.
Is that who's going?
No,
to
the I'll be
out,
in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I'm going to the the Negro Baseball Hall of Fame in Kansas City this weekend on Saturday. Matter of fact.
Get
a throwback, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Is that the Atlanta Crackers? Which one was the Atlanta Crackers? Was there like a Crackers jersey too as well, or am I thinking of that a little off, man? I got to figure out one of those. There's a couple ones
that's one.
Like there's the Browns or something like that too, yeah. Yeah, Rob, I was going to give you my credit card, but I don't know, man. We'll have to talk about that a little later, bro, man. But it's all good, man. Enjoy that, man. Take some pictures, man, so we can definitely show those on our page, which I'm sure you'll do a good job about that as well too, man. So good calls, man. Really quickly, good call on that, JQ. Yeah, he's good at posting that. Really quickly,
yeah, next year.
You're talking about that too, JQ, and Francona pulling out the stops. So can the Indians do the unthinkable? I guess is the question. What are your thoughts about that? In Cleveland, man, that city would go erupt, man. But we're not. I know it's kind of stepping too far ahead of ourselves, but can they do the unthinkable? Is the question, sir.
Yeah, I tell you what, if they do, you'll see a whole lot of late May and early June babies coming because they will be going plumb crazy in Cleveland if the Indians were able to do that. So I'm just going to throw that out there. If that happens, man, I'm telling you, you're going to have a whole lot of crazy Geminis walking around. But it's going to be hard for them not to at least make the World Series up 3-0. I mean, they're up 3-1 now. But, the way he's – the only thing I can see catching up to him is just fatigue because he's had to use a lot of arms due to a lot of injuries. But the way he's mixing and matching and only giving them an inning to 2 innings a piece and not just taxing them and doing it by committee, I still think they make the World Series. What will behoove them is to win this next game and get as much rest as possible because I feel like this Cubs-Dodgers series is going to go probably a little way, at least 6 or 7 games. Either way, I still think the Cubs win, but, they got to come back from a deficit. So 6 games at the least. So I still feel like it's going to be the Cubs and the Indians, and the Midwest is just going to go nuts. But, man, if Cleveland does that, bro, I'm telling you, look out for the Man June babies. They're going to be out in full force in Northeast Ohio.
Love it. 10 minutes. Go ahead, Rob.
Wait, JQ took the words right out of my mouth. I think it's best for them to have any shot in the World Series. I think they need to end this series rather quickly. Because I do think this Cubs-Dodgers series has the potential, I think, at least 6 and possibly even 7 games in this series. So it would definitely behoove them to go ahead and finish this series off and get some rest. And I think that would give them the best opportunity to have a shot at winning the World Series. But that would be something for Cleveland to end their curse with 2 championships in 1 year. I mean, that would be unreal. They had to wait so many years since, I believe, the 60s, if I'm not mistaken. And they get 2 in 1 year will be flat out incredible. So we'll have to wait and see. I think the Cubs and the Dodgers, I think to me, still are better teams than the Indians. But I think if the Indians are going to have any shot, they're going to end this series now.
You can go ahead and get the Believe in part 230 for 30 going.
Yeah,
there it is. Believe. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
All right, really quickly, this is interesting, and I guess we're going to kind of switch here about some college football here really quickly. Does the Big 12 owe the 19 schools interviewed an expansion for an apology? Go ahead and talk about this, Rob, and I'll let you kick him. Stay tuned, JQ.
Oh, really quickly on this
front. Yeah.
They never promised anything to these schools, but
yes,
I do think for them to go through this entire process and not pick 2 schools, they owe these schools an apology, in my personal opinion. Just for all the time they put into it, all the time that these schools put into upgrading their facilities and doing a lot to improve themselves for the Big 12 to add them. I think the Big 12 is a train wreck waiting to happen.
Yeah.
I can't see this league intact in a few more years. I think these schools break up and they all go to some other big conferences. You'll see some of these teams go to the SEC. You'll see some go to the Pac-12. So I just predict that this is – I think the only schools an apology, and definitely – yeah, Big Ten as well. So you can see that conference of 10 teams, even though it's the Big 12, it only has 10 teams, they're going to break up and go to these other conferences.
Yeah, the old 1-2 switcheroo, man. That was bait and switch, man. That was terrible. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, absolutely right. For everything that Rob just said, and to throw some more logs onto that fire, they never contacted Fox and ESPN, who are their main media partners, about how they felt about giving up more money to the schools. And ESPN and Fox flat out was like, no, why are you doing that? We're straight where we are. So why don't you consult them first before you start having these people, send these fancy brochures and come to the campuses and wine and dine these guys? It's almost like they just got to go on a whole lot of dates without ever having to commit. And that's why I feel like they owe them, because they hadn't talked to their parents, who was ESPN and Fox, about whether they could go ahead and date these people. And they dated them anyway, and then they came back and asked for permission, and they said no, so they had to shut it down. And the big piece of that was the Longhorns have no incentive to do that when they have their own network now. So if you looked at the ACC, got that big network money with their conference channel, and the Longhorns aren't going to give up theirs for the greater good of the Big 12, then why would you even put these schools through that, given that nobody wants to give up that money? And that's what it really comes down to. Fox don't want to give up the money. ESPN don't want to give up the money. Longhorns definitely are going to give up their own network just so everybody else can share in the network. I mean, just think about it from their perspective. They're not going to do that. So, yes, they owe them a huge apology because that was just a waste to get some free liquor and some cheese samples.
That's terrible, bro. 100%, 100% accurate. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about these college football predictions here. Let's kick it off first and foremost. Big game, number 6, Texas A&M at number 1, Alabama. Go ahead, Rob, your thoughts, bro.
Alabama at home, but I think the game is finally going to be close. Finally going to be close. Alabama's been blowing everybody out, but I think this one's going to be close.
Stop it.
Go ahead,
Jeff. I know you don't like Alabama, but I told you last time when you picked against Alabama, you're still talking that foolishness. It's Alabama by like 14. They're going to They're going to find a way to take away what you do best, and they're going to embarrass you. At Alabama? Alabama, Nick Saban, 14 points or better.
Alabama. I love it, man. They don't have a dynamic quarterback to kind of give them any trouble, man. So, yeah, it should be easy. All right, number 17, Arkansas. Number 21, Auburn. Go ahead, JQ.
I'm just going to say, you go to play Auburn in the Plains, you're going to be in for a dogfight. I mean, they beat LSU. I'm sorry, Rob, but they did. And they almost beat Clemson. It was really much closer game than people thought it was going to be. I think, you know, again, Brett Bielema, I said it before, and I'm sorry for the Hog fans, but he's not that dude. I'm not going to pick with him, Auburn.
Rob, go ahead, Bear.
I'm going to Arkansas on the road. I haven't been totally impressed with Auburn. Auburn did beat LSU, but LSU was coached by the worst coach in college football in that game, Les Miles. So I think this Arkansas team will go on the road and beat Auburn.
I won 10 games, Rob. What else you want from me, bro?
Still picking with Brad Bielema, but he's going to learn.
And we can still, we could have went out there and coached them LSU teams at 10 wins.
Oh, he's calling the shots. 5 minutes. Number 23, Ole Miss at 25, LSU, Rob.
I'm going to go with LSU at home on this one. I know LSU played Missouri, who I think is going to finish dead last in the SEC West. And they blew Missouri out, and then he blew out Southern Miss. But so far, I have to say I like what Ed Orgeron is doing. They're actually spreading the ball. They're running more spread offenses and spreading teams out. And Ole Miss is going to be tough to stop, but quietly, LSU's defense has been pretty good this year. I think they slow down Ole Miss just enough, and LSU wins at home.
Yeah, go ahead with your thoughts.
I agree. LSU is playing better, and Chad Kelly is too busy worried about, you know, getting into the porn stars' DMs, you know, getting the playbook, bro, and try to figure the things out. So I'm going to go with LSU in a big game for Orgeron. He's playing because he's coaching to be the LSU's head coach. He wants that job. He is a Louisiana
really
native, I believe, as well. He wants
he
that
is.
Job, and I think this is a big statement for him. I'm going to go with him on the strength of that and that defense.
Wow. There it is, Rob, your next coach. No, I'm joking. Rob's not laughing with me. Okay,
I think he either has to go undefeated or at the most lose one game, and I'd say you got to give him the job if that's the case.
Okay, all right. I thought you were going to, like, kind of talk about me, but you actually didn't, like, laugh at that. Okay, fair enough. Really quickly, guys, we're getting to the show here, and just an amazing turn of events here. Dallas Cowboys went into Green Bay and just played a fantastic game. Dak Prescott, word on the street, man. I heard some crazy talk about Tony Romo is still going to get the quarterback job when he comes back, but I don't know. But can they win the NFC is the question, and I'll throw it to you, Rob.
I'm still going to say no. I mean, I don't think – I think when it's all said and done, I think Minnesota, Seattle, and Atlanta seems to be better teams than the Cowboys, in my opinion. And am I impressed with Prescott? Absolutely. Am I impressed with Ezekiel Elliott? Yes. Am I impressed with the offensive line? Yes. Has their defense gotten better? Yes. But I still don't think they're better than those three teams that I just mentioned.
Go ahead, JQ.
Agreed. I'm still going to ride with Minnesota, so I have a reason not to.
2 minutes here. I do want to talk really briefly about a key matchup, Minnesota at Philadelphia. What do you think about this matchup here? And I'm going to throw it to you, JQ, kind of as we wrap up the show, bro.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. On the road, Minnesota.
Sorry, Richmond, man. We thought you were going to, you know, show some love to Carson Wentz, man. But
Philly
looked
like they're coming back down to earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, see how fast the Philly fans turn on Wentz, man. It's been fantastic. Gentlemen, we got 2 minutes, man. What a wonderful time. We thank you for talking sports again, and go ahead and end the show, Rob.
Yeah, once again, we'll be on the air on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Once again, we'll have a lot to talk about, football, baseball, playoffs, NBA tipping off. So we're going to try to squeeze as much of that as possible into the show on next week. New England, they will beat Pittsburgh this weekend, definitely without Ben Roethlisberger, and probably with them as well.
Yeah. And Denver, JQ, finish it out.
Yes,
get him over here. I agree with that, too.
Absolutely. Everybody, appreciate you for listening to the show. Sorry for Vincent Jackson being on the injured reserve, but he was over it. I need that Mike Evans love. I think you're going to see Mike Evans be one of the next best great wide receivers in the league. I really do. Him and Jameson might be a really nasty combination moving forward, under the radar combination that nobody's talking about. Appreciate y'all. Tune in next week.
America, it's been a joy for us to show. We'll see you guys same time, same channel next week. Peace out.